start with on their menu.
Well, normally we start right on time, but, or they still out there playing.
Homes have a kick.
I played with them, then I got cake stuck in it.
Pretty awesome.
Oh, that's a good idea. Hey, how are you?
Is Joe gonna be here this evening?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him.
I haven't spoken. I haven't heard anything.
Could have a kick out soon.
It happened during the meeting. What's her name?
Does anybody else have a public comment card to turn in before we start? Alright. Well, I know some people are still outside playing, but we're gonna go ahead and get started. It's fun out there playing. Alright, so we're gonna call the meeting to order. It is 7:02 on my clock. First thing to do is to approve the minutes from April 25th, 2017. Any discussion on the minutes? No discussion? And I will move that we approve the minutes as written. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Alright. Next thing is to approve the minutes from the May 3rd special meeting. Is there any discussion on those? The May 3rd meeting for everybody out there was when we met the auditors. They came in and we had a special meeting to meet them and just kind of hear how the audit would be run. And we have those minutes if anybody needs to see. They're probably on the website. They're on the website. Yeah. All right, I will move that we approve those minutes as written.
Okay, I got a question. My old business for the agenda this evening is we discussed the 5-member board. And apparently, I thought we had taken care of that. And
well, we got to get through all the first stuff before we get down to old business.
Well, but the motions is in the new minutes, and the minutes we're going to approve. So, if there's something wrong with that motion.
Well, we already approved the minutes, though. I mean, we can take it off when we get to that point of the meeting, but we all three just unanimously approved the minutes. We can't go back and change them.
Well, I'm talking about the minutes that we're talking about right now.
From the special session?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No, I don't. That didn't have anything to do with that. That was just the meeting where we met the auditors.
Well, okay. I'm talking about the minutes right here that have got the motion on it. That's
the ones that we just approved, those minutes from the April 25th meeting.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I
That was the first thing on the agenda, approve the April 25th meeting. And we just did.
Okay.
So there's a motion on the floor to approve the special meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Alright. Next thing is to approve the minutes from closed session from that May 3rd meeting. Is there any discussion on that, or just one motion made? If no discussion, I'll move that we approve the minutes from the May 3rd special closed session.
Aye.
Aye. Alright, treasurer's report. Any discussion on the treasurer's report?
The only thing was I was glad to see, Dave, you went back and picked up several years of the tax things, appreciate that. Everything else looked to be in order from my vantage point.
Bob, did you have any discussion on it?
No.
Alright, I'll move that we approve the treasurer's report as written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Agree?
Aye.
Alright, chief's report.
Okay. For April, we had 28 runs. We're just a little bit behind of last year, by just a few runs, really. It was kind of a short month for prevention and PR activities, but we did have the mock accidents at the high school that they did for the junior and senior classes there. Under training, 405 hours of training for last month. A lot of that was focused on the new truck. Under health and safety, all of our breathing apparatus have been inspected by a certified technician, and all members have been have had their fit tests completed. Under maintenance, we'll talk later about the Station 1 bids. Nothing new here. Station 2. Station 3 is, I guess, in all practicality, open. We moved equipment into that station. There's a pumper and one of the boats that are there. Of the punch list items, they did a lot just last week, beginning last week, to get things done. They still have yet to fill the generator, the backup generator for the station. And there was some work they had to replace, I think on a warranty replacement, a recirculating pump for the hot water system, basically, so we don't waste as much water waiting for water to get hot, is kind of how it works. So the firefighters, in our meeting the other day, we discussed they'll be up there on Tuesdays and Fridays to check apparatus and, you know, housekeeping things around the station. Equipment-wise, nothing new to report there, other than, like I said, one of the pumpers moved up to Station 3. I think all of you got to see the new pumper outside, went in service this morning. You might see more about it. It's the foam system, like we've talked about. So as you guys saw out there, that uses foam. So it should expand our, increase the amount of our water capability. So we can put out more fire with less water. So it should be, should work well in our unhydrated area. And getting that truck in operation, the firefighters had Craig, or I'm sorry, Byron, work up the numbers for me. They have about a little over 200 man hours in putting that truck in service, from organizing and mounting equipment and so forth. So they did a great job there. All the boats have had their preventive maintenance. My department vehicle was in for routine maintenance, and they end up replacing the water pump on warranty from it. Actually, Byron, you grab that plaque from the hallway. I forgot again to bring it in. Under the quartermasters, they're working on the annual order for uniforms and so forth, uniform items. Under administration, we had it was the, I want to call them Lake, Lake Community Church, I think is their name, on downtown in downtown Westlake Plaza.
North Lake.
North Lake Community Church, that's right. They had, yes, thank you. They had a first responder appreciation day. They had it kind of in the works even before the tornado, but they kind of moved it back and so forth as the tornado event happened. And at that event, the district was presented a plaque from a congressional record from Sam Graves' office, thanking them for their for the community's response, the fire department's response to the tornado in Diamond Crest. So it's it was out here in the hallway.
Nice.
We've had shift captain meetings, basically on the new pumper, landscape cleanup here at Station 2. The guys just worked yesterday and have that front island and so forth, kind of rehab that out there. The further cleanup of Station 1, and then we've met about how to come to an agreement on plans for Station 3. On the Clay County side, I was contacted by John Davis, who's chief of the Clay County Park Rangers, that they had equipment they wanted to donate. They sent over paperwork that I signed and sent back to them, and basically they're going to get out of responding to swift water or flash flood rescue incidents, and they wanted to give us their equipment that they bought. So I didn't put a dollar value to it, but it's expensive for four complete head-to-toe sets. That I don't know how long it's going to take. It's up to the Clay County Commission to approve that finally and get it over to us.
Is there additional training required with that new equipment? Or?
It is. It's similar, just different brands of the equipment that we have now. So it's the same dry suits, like we just bought more of dry suits, life jackets, knives, helmets, that kind of stuff that we use in the flash flood rescue stuff. Operations. On the Platte County side, I've been in touch with them about this bicycle ride that's going to go through the northern part of the district. At this time, they didn't need anything else from us on that. So, the City of Smithville Fire District meeting will be July 20th here at Station 2. So, attached also, I think there was a request for it last month. That were the warranties that are in place for Station 3. So I included that in your packet, as well as a copy of that agreement from Clay County for them to donate us that equipment.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
On that piece where the warranties are listed there, 1, 2, 20, so on and so forth, the statement down below is asterisked. And I guess I was looking for an asterisk up above, but apparently the asterisk applies to all of those.
There's very few of them that actually started the day that we took possession of the building. Many of them were January 1st, some even back as far as November.
Okay, so I guess you've got notated someplace where...
Yes, sir. They provided an entire book that's just on the manuals that go along with the station.
So you know when the warranty started on particular items?
Yes.
So we have some things that are gonna, warranties are gonna expire before anybody's really even using it.
Absolutely. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
This cooperative agreement, that's, we have to execute that between us and the county for that equipment.
You already did.
I signed it stating that we would basically that yes, we'll take the equipment and we won't hold them liable for it. The majority of it is brand new, has never been worn or used. So it's just pending the stamp of approval from the Clay County Commission. And then they will bring
you've
the stuff.
You've already executed that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's pretty awesome. Well, if there's no other discussion, does anybody have anything?
Looks good, thank you.
I move that we approve the chief's report as written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 right, we're gonna move on to public comment, and all I have is from Tom.
Tom Pecca, 5004 Century Drive, Smithville, unincorporated Clay County. Just a question on the chief's truck status. I didn't know if we ever got a feedback on that. I didn't hear it in the chief's report. So, and also to thank the Smithville Fire Department. The American Legion had a flag burning ceremony on Sunday, and they were gracious enough after we called them to bring a truck up and watch our little flag burning ceremony to make sure we didn't set anything or body on fire. So appreciate that. That's all I have.
The short answer on the chief's truck is that it is part of his contract that he is able to use that as his personal vehicle. So that will probably stay with him at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to old business. The ballot issue for Station 3. Greg?
Okay, so you say we're not gonna address the moving to five-member board now, or what?
I had, and that's my mistake, I just realized that the original agenda that was in your packet that was not on there, and then you'd send me an email to put it back on. So mm-hmm. I sent you guys an updated agenda. I just realized I didn't copy that updated agenda for them, so.
Okay.
So what's in your packet is missing that first old business item.
Oh, and that was the first item?
Yes.
Okay.
I got it.
Yeah, I emailed it. I emailed each of you a copy of the updated one. I realized that the one I copied for the audience, I just took out of the packet that's that original one. The proper one was emailed to you, and the proper one's posted outside with that as the old business item.
So why is that in there?
This agenda was mailed to you, and then...
I'm not concerned about the agenda. I'm like by the item.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's here, because didn't we vote in front
of
everybody?
We still needed to approve the actual wording from Joe. He is not here tonight. So we have to have that filed by next week, so I will ask him to email that to all of us. I think that we've seen it before. It just wasn't officially approved with him. So we need to approve the wording to put it on the ballot. And we can do that by email.
How did you find out about this?
Find out about that we needed to approve it? I asked Joe if it was ready to go on the ballot, and he said, no, we still have to approve it. So I put it back on the agenda. But since he's not here with that wording.
Okay, is there going to be an opportunity for this not to be filed by the end of the month?
Yeah. No, I will ask him to email it. I don't know. I mean, he knew we had a meeting, so I haven't spoken to him. So I'm sure he can email it to us tomorrow, and everybody can just send their approval by email, and it'll be filed before the deadline. We have until the 29th, which is a week from yesterday.
Well, I'm willing to do that, but is that kosher with sunshine law and all this stuff?
It is. We can do that.
Well, the only thing I request then is that if either one of the three of us contact Joe for anything about board business, that his reply be sent to all three of us.
Okay, we can
so
ask
we're
him that.
On the same link.
Sure.
Because, you know, we started this and we're assured by him in March that we had plenty of time.
Yeah, but he did mention last month that we'd have to approve it this month, and then we'd have plenty of time. But then he's
I didn't remember that.
Not here to do it. So I kind of think that wording was in our packet last month. I just don't have last month's packet with me.
Well, if it
so
was,
we have all seen it. And nothing has changed on it. So we, it's the one that we already have gotten. Is there any more discussion on that?
Yeah, no,
no.
That's fine.
All right, so we will move on to the ballot issue for Station 3.
Well, in response to that, this is something that I don't think that we as a board can wait for the outcome of our current audit. If we're going to do something, we can't go at it backing up. That audit is through 2016. It doesn't encompass the three of us. And promoting and getting the levy to support the firefighters in Station 3 needs to be paramount. And I think we need to jump on that. And there's just, I guess, one other question that was brought up about if we have a tax levy, how much it's going to increase taxes for everyone. And it's going to. But the I think you need to please consider that once it's done and the dust settles, that the ISO rating is going to affect not only the far reaches of our district, but it's also going to affect and lower fire protection class on your current homeowners in downtown. So I think those savings will be offset.
Tom, did you have public comment on this one? Did you want to speak on this?
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
I wonder if the temperament of the public is conducive to doing it in August. That's my question.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're at that point yet. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't think we're to the point where I think we would be wasting our money and our effort at this point.
And then your only other opportunity is November to have it put on the ballot for November. If there's other issues, you don't have to pay for the ballot fee, or mm-hmm. as much of a fee if there's other issues.
Right, because I don't think there's anything on the ballot in November.
No, not yet.
So we would do this whole thing on the ballot. And I mean, we've seen in the past that people aren't going to get out and vote for one issue. There's not. I mean, even when we've had other elections where out of the whole almost 20,000 people in the district, there were less than 1,000 that got out and voted, and that's when there were several things on the ballot. So, if there's a strong, so I think we would be.
When is the board possibly think the timing is going to be good?
I'm not even thinking about it yet. Myself, I think it's a little further down the road before. I think we just need to wait and see what the audit finds, what happens with that. I just don't think we should spend money on the ballot at this point.
Is there any consideration to staffing to augmenting the staff out there in some way with volunteers, or is that a viable question? Maybe not a good question, but in lieu of that happening at some point, or
to at this point have true community volunteers who would staff that, it would be a monumental undertaking with the current training requirements and how we're set up now.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any chance of bringing back any of the volunteers that were here before, still live in the district. They're just, you know, they did away with that, so they're not volunteers anymore.
Again, to have them meet the training standards that our even our volunteers that we have now meet would be difficult.
Yeah.
To have them have the certified firefighter training and be certified EMTs.
Okay. They didn't have to do that before.
Not all of them were, no.
Oh, really? Plus, I guess they have to update.
Yeah.
I guess would there Would there be some, just throwing this out as an idea, would there be some way to have some way to benchmark public sentiment about having a levy on a ballot at some point? I mean, would we talk about an ad hoc group? Would there be some way that we, as a group, could poll somebody to find out if that would pass or not pass, or if it's have some measurement of the attitudes of the people? Just.
I don't know, other than sending out a survey. You know, there's companies that can do those free surveys, Survey Monkey, and
yes,
there's another one, I can't think of the name of it, but I don't know, other than doing that, and I don't know where you get the, where
social
you get
media,
the database
yeah.
to do it.
Social media is, I guess, easy way to do that. It definitely doesn't reach an even pool of individuals. You'd only be polling people who use social media, but that'd be one option. You know, an ad in the paper that directs them to our website that has a survey on it, something like that.
That's a good idea.
I just thought maybe if there was some way that we could test the temperament, what the attitudes were towards the acceptability of,
mm-hmm.
of having a levy, and then what that looks like over a period of time. We can measure it along the way, maybe. That way we'd be doing something in the meantime. I mean,
instead of us trying to guess whether people would vote for it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, then of course, obviously, an awareness would be have to be there over whether or not people knew it was there, and you'd want to work to let people know why you need that. Need people to staff that station. I just think, and I think that's what you were alluding to with the ad hoc group.
By all means.
And
the school district did it, and it worked out fine for them. I think we could do the same thing if we had the right attitude about it.
So it's just a thought. I'd volunteer to do some research on that.
That would be great. You want to do that and bring it back next month?
Yes, kind of. Maybe there could be a way that we could think of some things we could do.
Perfect.
Okay, what is it you're going to do, please, Tom, Bob?
I'd like to look into possible abilities of trying to measure the attitudes of the public and what those might look like and how effective they might be. And then, you know, maybe we do Survey Monkey or, you know, different things. And then if a person had a thought of an ad hoc committee at some point in time, if that was a worthwhile thing, or there were people that came forward with the community that were willing to do that, that if we knew who those people were, that would be helpful too. They might be able to volunteer some of that.
That's what it's going to take to get it done.
I'm not sure if we can appoint an ad hoc committee. I think it has to be somebody from the community that has to step up and say, I want this committee.
No.
I think it's against sunshine law for us to appoint a committee.
So it's probably what the best word, but to request an ad hoc committee.
We want to have someone in the community came forward and said they would take that responsibility or be willing to volunteer to do it or head it or.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really need it unless we decide to put it on the ballot. But
then we need some sort of support.
If that is what it comes to, then somebody else would have to head that up. It cannot be the three of us that does it.
Dave, I'd like to hear from you what your feeling is at all about staffing a station.
Well, obviously as a firefighter and as a chief officer, I agree with staffing the station. Our community needs it. We have the biggest issue right now is that we can only handle one emergency at a time in a timely fashion. I know there's a lot of discussion about why would we staff a station in Paradise? I live in town. And, you know, we're talking 30 to 40 cents probably. And for that 30 or 40 cents, it would double the size of your fire department. You know, now we can handle two emergencies at the same time. You know, if somebody's having a heart attack at the car wash that we're helping, and there's a house on fire, even here in town, we have to wait till an ambulance gets here. Or we're at a house fire and there's a car accident, somebody from another department's gonna have to handle that. So there's the need, and growth in emergency services is typically based on a tragedy. And, you know, I don't ever want to play that card, but that's usually what brings this to mind of, you know, we really do need to be able to handle two emergencies at the same time because something really bad happened. So that being said, you know, it needs to be done. We need to grow our fire department to meet the agenda, to meet our mission. This is my 14th year here. When I started, we ran under 500 calls a year. This year, we'll probably be at 1,400 or 1,500 calls a year. And that's not by changing our mission at all. We're going to the exact same instance that we went to then, just more of them. So it's not really a question of if, it is just when. We're gonna be caught in a really bad situation. And the folks that, you know, it'll affect the community. That being said, I'm also a taxpayer in the district. And, you know, I enjoy the low tax rate the same as everybody else. I'm interested to see what the new school issue will do to my personal taxes. But that being said, I want better service than one fire truck. You know, if somebody's house is on fire, my family's in an accident, I hope we have two fire trucks, you know, two crews that can handle calls. So I think it's important. I think it's certainly something that our community needs. The issue is building that community support without suffering the tragedy. And that's what's going to take a lot of work. A lot of, you know, it's a classic slogan, but a lot of boots on the ground, a lot of good community involvement, building a community reputation, educating them on the need without playing the, you know, the tragedy card, but raising awareness and showing people that, look, you will double the size of your fire department. My house is on fire. I don't want three guys to show up. I'd rather six guys show up. You know, in reality, I'd rather 12 guys show up, but that's still ways down the road. But we need to catch up. We're way behind in what, this is the same size fire department we ran 500 calls a year with, that now we're gonna run almost 1,500 calls a year with. Not a whole lot has changed there. We did increase minimum staffing, but we haven't increased daily coverage strength really that much. So yes, it's a needed, yes, we need it. We need it desperately. I'm in the same boat that I don't know that this moment is the right time. I think there needs to be a lot of lead up work and a lot of building of community support before it happens. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I danced all the way around the issue, but that's where, you know, and I'd have that discussion with anybody. I feel the same way that, you know, we need it. I hope we get it before there's a tragedy, but the odds are really against us that something bad's gonna happen at some point.
Well, that's exactly why I'm trying to get us to move forward on this, folks. Put it on the ballot every chance we get until we get it done. Let's don't approach this going backwards. Let's all join hands, arms, whatever it takes, and get this done for the benefit of our community. We know we need it.
Right, I think we need it too, but the issue is that to get it on the August ballot, we have to have it in there by Monday. That's less than a week, and they've even just mentioned that it would take a lot of lead up, a lot of research and that kind of stuff. We can't do that in less than a week.
Well, we can start working on the lead up part.
Well, but I mean, we can't put it on the ballot. We can't put it on the ballot until probably next year at the earliest.
Well, we can start the process, Deb. That's what we need.
Well, that's
to do.
What Bob just said that he was willing to do for next month. Start the process.
Okay. I'm all in favor of that.
All right. Is there any more discussion on that? I'll be anxious to see what you come back with next month. Anything else? All right, so that kind of took care of the first two, the committee as well. So the next thing is the mission statement. Does that work on that at all?
No, sorry.
Okay, well, I'm gonna read what I've had for like the last 3 months, just to see what you guys think, and we can adjust it as we need to, but I think it's, I've been on this board for over a year now, and we have no mission statement. I just think it's kind of crazy for any organization to not have a direction, a written direction. The mission statement of the fire department does not apply to us, because we are not protecting the community. Thankfully, they are not depending on me to go out and shoot that phone, because I almost fell over when I did it. So, we need our own mission statement, separate from them. So, what I had written out was to ensure outstanding fire and rescue service in the most cost-effective manner, and to provide support to the members of the Smithville Area Fire Protection District and service to the community. So I'm willing to listen.
It's totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Do you wanna type that up and put it in next month's packet?
I'll get that. Okay, we can get it off the agenda for the past 3 months. All right, I guess we need to vote on that. I will move that we make that our mission statement for the board.
When it gets in the packet, put it in the packet next month and move it.
I'm gonna go around now.
Cause I wanna see it in the packet, please.
Okay. Will you please put that on the agenda once in a while? All right, moving on, third party to record meeting minutes. I gave you guys, not really sure if we're supposed to do this in open or closed session. Probably talk about, I'll just talk about it generally, and then we can actually look at these letters when we get in closed session. I guess since it's a personnel issue, that we probably do it in there. I've got 3 proposals here, and one of the gals that I talked to is actually here tonight, because she kind of wanted to see how our meetings are run and kind of get a feel for it, which I think says a lot that she stepped up. And so it's nice to have you here today. And so we can, we've got 3 pretty good proposals here, so I don't see any reason why we can't make a decision tonight on one of these. So we'll do that in closed session to go over those. But thank you for coming. All right, moving on to new business, the roof replacement at Station 1. Do you kind of want to go over those bids, or?
Sure.
What you recommend?
We received, we did an advertised request for proposal. We received 3 different contractors. One of them submitted 2 bids. The alternate bid there from the SRI contractors doesn't really fit the specifications that we put out. It's not really a comparable product. It is cheaper, but it's not really comparable in terms of construction and design than what the specs we put out. So of those, my recommendation is the bid for $33,176 from Owen Homes.
They did the work prior, temporary work, did they not?
Yes, sir. And they did the remodel here. We've had great luck with their work. They've been excellent to deal with, their local company.
Did they say when they would get it done?
They did not, but it was in the specifications that that they start work within 30 days of a signed contract.
Okay. I know, I get that they're local and they worked for us before. Is there any questions on any of these proposals?
I would move that we allow Homes to take care of the roof on Station 1.
I second that.
Present bid.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That was easy. Okay, the next one is to review the RFP for LED lighting at Station Two.
I basically just put together what we discussed last, at the last meeting. I have the, it's just a general RFP and a legal notice. I'm open to any input that you have, we want to move forward on that.
And the proposal will be open in June, is that?
Yes, it'll be open from now until June 23rd.
So you'd present those bids, I guess, the July meeting then, right?
Would that be after our?
The next.
Looks like it's pretty close to the end.
No, the next meeting's June 27th, so we could do it at the next meeting.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I thought I had it set there before.
Yeah.
Before the next.
Yeah, we could do it at the next one. I've never written an RFP, but reading through this, it looked like I didn't have anything that I thought it was missing.
I think it looks good.
Okay, I'll move that we accept the, RFP as written for the LED lighting upgrade.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great.
Aye.
All right, the dedication of the Station Three plaque. Can you, I know that you did some research on that for us?
Basically, in a meeting with the, site supervisor for Herner, the general contractor, Station Three, he said that originally in the project budget was $1,800 for a stone sign on the front of the building. Chief Callahan, met with, Nick, I can't think of his last name, Nick Nye, from Herner, and gave him the information that he wanted included on the plaque, and it was impossible to do in stone in the size that they had. So, Chief Callahan made, you know, basically told him what had to be on the sign, so that's what caused him to go with the bronze sign, for a cost of $2,900, of which Herner paid the excess. They paid the difference. So, you know, it comes out of their profit, but they paid the extra $1,100 for the sign.
Was there anybody that could say when there was a dedication ceremony, or when was that?
No, all.
When was that put up?
All Nick said was that, he was just given the wording and what Chief Callahan wanted to put on the sign.
So they just installed it and said dedicated, but it really was not dedicated?
Correct.
And it has the wrong names on it.
Yeah, that was just, they just put on the information that was given to them.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you guys, that doesn't sit very well with me. So I think that we should probably take that, the board should take that under consideration for maybe some future action on that. They're changing it to put the proper names on it of, I mean, whether you put the names on it of the board that's here when it was dedicated, or whether you put the names on it of when it was actually approved, you know, on the ballot. The three names that are on there aren't either one of those sets of people, so it's not right either way you look at it, whichever way you go with it, it's not right.
Well, I understand Richard's question, but has anybody talked to Chief Callahan at all?
I have not. He is not available at the moment, as far as I know.
Have you tried to contact him?
I've contacted him about other things and with no response. You know, I just send him emails to see how he's doing and that kind of thing, and I don't get any response. So, no, I have not.
Well, before we make any kind of a decision, I'd like to hear his feedback on it.
Would you like to be the one to contact him and ask that?
I can certainly do that.
That'd be great. All right. We'll look at that in the future, see what to do about that. I know we have more pressing issues at the moment. Okay, mowing of land at Station Three.
So as you asked, last month, I put together, I got a few bids of just local companies, to kind of figure, you know, find out what a contractor would charge to mow that property. The one bid that I did, receive early at the time of the packet was the $100, to mow. You know, if you, take out the footprint of the building, we have about an acre to mow, and quite a bit of trimming to do. So their cost was $100. Another local company, they wouldn't give us a bid until it was, since it's so tall, still everything was mowed down. They wanted to charge a cleanup cost and so forth beforehand. But I had kind of a base number of $100 to go on. Like you'd ask, I researched costs of mowers, spoke to them quite a bit at both Coleman's and Halfordy's, to kind of get the appropriate size machine and so forth. So included in there are those costs, on comparable mowers and so forth. So if we look at, buying a mower and paying a $50 flat fee to an employee, you know, we come out ahead after 2.5 years. So that was my original recommendation that's in here, is that we buy the mower from that Halfordy's has and pay, as you folks had brought up before, personnel to mow it. Since that time, two things have happened. One of which is the bid that I gave you today. There wasn't a timeline or anything on bids, but that young man, his parents own the storage facility across the street, and he actually called here and asked. He says, "Hey, would you guys let me mow that?" I was pretty impressed by his ambition. So I told him that I was not for sure what was going to happen, what we were looking at, and so forth. But I told him that I would present that to you folks. That's his bid to do the work. So he's a seventh grader, going to be an eighth grader. You know, does a lot of maintenance and mowing and stuff across the street. So that was his input. And I said, that was his bid, and I said that I would share that with you. In the captain's meeting, basically the captains brought it back up that if they're going to be up there twice a month or twice a week to check equipment, that mowing wouldn't be that big of a deal. I, you know, in putting this together, kind of took your sentiments, I thought, as a group together, to maybe not have them up there to do things like that amount of time, being out of the center of the district. So that's why I didn't include that in here. I took from the meeting that they'd be open to doing that if that's what you folks wanted done.
In other words, park personnel would be open to do it on their own time?
No, sir, on shift. While they're on shift, they go up there and check equipment and check the station and so forth. They said, "Hey, we're going to be up there twice a week anyway." You know, the captains were at least open to the idea of, in fact, they brought it up, of mowing when they were up there.
And that would be no overtime?
That'd be no overtime. We'd be at the cost, we'd be just at the cost of the mower.
What would it require? Would it require mowing every week?
I think it would until late July, early August. There's no irrigation system up there, so that grass is going to die off. You know, I would imagine there'll be a few weeks that all it would take would be trimming around things. You know, early spring and fall when it's growing well, there's probably more to do.
So which one of these mowers did you recommend if we're doing it ourselves? This $5,400 one, is that the from Coleman? Is that the one you think?
No, the last paragraph in there, a 54-inch, 25-horse Cub Cadet.
Oh, okay. For $38.99.
For $38.99. All of these, I was trying to make comparisons of what was available in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cub Cadet would be a good machine. The Kubotas would be a good machine from Coleman. They're just, you know, a little more money. Both of them have manufactured decks. They're not the stamped, they're welded. More of a, I told them I want a really nice residential or lighter weight commercial kind of mower. You know, we don't need top of the line, but if we took a mower like what we have here up there, it'd ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
What about the service end of it, Dave? You have any questions about that?
That was one of my, I did take that into consideration, between Coleman and Halford, either one. I know they provide great service. We've had great service from both of them. I can look up and find what the warranties were. I believe they were comparable, 2 or 3 year warranties on them. And like I said, we've had great service with both those companies. We use them for the mower here. We use them for, you know, chainsaw equipment and so forth.
You use both of their service departments?
Yes.
Well, I'm really more in favor of the Kubota, but that's just my two cents.
Do you have a reason? So that one's almost close to twice as much.
I just feel like that the longevity of the business is more sustainable, personally.
The longevity of whose business? Of which?
Coleman's.
Isn't Halford & Sons been here forever?
Yeah.
I've never used.
There has been a lot. There has been speculation that they, you know, that they may close.
Property.
Yeah. Oh. I think that's been speculation for a long time. and I have nothing to base that on other than what you hear.
Yeah.
But I think they're gonna. Those involved in it are getting up there and.
I know the dad passed away.
Yeah.
A while back. What do you think, Bob? Do you have opinions on that?
I think the Kubota would be possibly a little bit better built machine than the Cub Cadet, but either one would work. Could you, you know, the deck and everything you talked about, good thoughts. But and if there is an issue with them going out of business or something, that's a question. And Coleman's good, so I can go either way. Whatever your recommendation is, I support it.
And I truly don't think we'd go wrong with either with either machine, either company. But I will agree that I think the Kubota is probably a notch above. I mean, I think they're worth the additional money.
Yeah.
We have the additional money to spend on it?
We do.
This comes out of bond money, is that right?
It would.
Okay.
For the station. That would be my recommendation. I mean, it's for that station, so mm-hmm. It's equipment for that station.
I haven't looked into it recently, but the Kubotas have a little bit better engines. Get Briggs and Stratton, and I've looked at this, but I feel like that just kind of I'd lean that way myself. And I've dealt with Coleman myself on chainsaws and stuff too, and they're good, so.
I move we accept the Kubota bid to Coleman's locally.
And have the firefighters mow on their on shift?
Yes. With the caveat, and I'm sure they're already doing it, that as soon as a call comes in, they drop the cussed thing and run. Okay.
Which mower is that from Coleman?
That is the 54-inch, 25 horsepower Kubota.
We figured
it out.
Okay.
$5,467. I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Moving on to the review the RFP for the communication tower base.
So this is the last of two big projects to finish Station 3, but they both go together. This is an RFP for the construction of the base that the tower, the radio tower would sit on at Station 3. The agreement that's been worked out is that we provide the base, you folks bought the tower back in November, maybe? October, November. This would be the concrete base that it was set on. It's a big hole, 17 feet in diameter. I'm sorry, 5 feet in diameter, 17 feet deep. That'll have to be a bored hole. So I spoke with, I got a kind of a speculative bid out there. It'd be about $6,000 to dig the hole. It's about $6,000 worth of concrete and rebar that they would put in the hole. So for the project, puts us over the $10,000 limit that we would need to do an RFP. So basically, this is just advertising that. I have the engineer drawings, would be the actual specifications to pour the, or to set the base. It would cure, I believe they said, 6 to 8 weeks. And then Isotech, the company that has their equipment here, provides our internet service and so forth, would then erect the tower on that base.
Okay. And this is the same thing they'd be due before the next meeting?
I believe I put the same deadline.
Yep, moving on it quickly.
Yes, June 23rd.
I move that we accept the RFP as written. Second?
Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. All right, and the next one's the IT proposal for Station 3.
So this had been worked up between Chief Callahan and Jason Crowley, the president of Indigex, who is our current IT supplier, or IT contractor. And this is basically to purchase and install all of the technology to go into the other station, to include computers, internet, but most importantly, the security features between the two. So this would have a card access system, video surveillance inside the apparatus bay and at the front door, so you can see who's around the property and so forth. This project would put all those things in place. It will also provide us what will end up being the phone line to that building as the voice over IP connection, so it'll kind of be an extension from here. So it'll be all phone, IT computers, security, all that kind of stuff into that station. A lot of it is roughed in just as conduit and so forth now. So, you know, one of the big costs in there is them actually running the wire, all the wire connections, the server, all the stuff that goes along with it. This is way over my technical abilities. So in meeting with Jason, I asked him if he would be willing to help me develop specifications in an RFP. As I put in here, they would do that for a fee, because basically they've already done all that work to come up with what their cost would be. Mm-hmm. So for $3,800, we would still advertise the project, but he would be kind of our tech engineer for it. And he said there will be other companies that that will bid it, and he would be able to help make sure that what they specify is the same things that Indigex proposes. Because I guess there's a lot of differences in performance of different parts of the program and so forth. So for $3,800, he would do our engineering design and product management. Now, if his company ultimately gets the contract to do it, then that fee comes, you know, it's already based in their proposal, because really they've already done the work. If they go with somebody else, you know, if you folks go with somebody else to do the project, then that's basically their professional consulting fee. So Within this, looking through their design here, the only thing that I, and I don't know the conversation that came in, is obviously an expensive project, but there are cameras proposed to be on top of the radio tower that you can see for miles around. You know, for me personally, from the operation side, I don't know what benefit that would really be to have, you know. You know, that was their wording in there about being able to spot fires in the distance and so forth, and I just don't know how that affects, how operationally that would be for us. I think we could have some savings there, but I don't have any other suggestions in the plan itself.
So what are you requesting here to approve this or make this into an RFP or what?
Yes, I would for their consulting fee of $3,800, Indigex will create this in an RFP and spec format that we can then post our legal ad and submit to people, or have people submit proposals to us. We have to RFP it based on cost, and that's outside of my realm of expertise.
Well, I move that we do hire Indigex.
I believe, yes.
For the $3,800 to write the RFP for us.
With the caveat of trying to discern the legitimacy of the cameras on top, what that's for, and if it can be done without.
Okay.
We don't have forest fires around here, but
yeah,
there's somebody had something in mind for that.
Absolutely.
Did you review of that, you know, with those kind of recommendations for their final draft, for example? You said you didn't want those cameras and so forth.
Yeah, we can ask that they.
Yes.
We can ask that they take them on. It'd still be a line item, I think, in anybody's proposal that we could
add or say, yeah, just we'll order without those.
Absolutely.
So forth. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, motion on the floor. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. The last thing on new business is Chief Officer work schedules. I brought that back up because I know that Dave has been already working 5 days a week while he's actually, I think he was doing it even before he was the acting chief, but it seems to be working pretty well, and I would like to see us make that the standard schedule is 5 8-hour days for the chief and the deputy chief for their schedules. Open that up for discussion if anybody's got any comments on that.
I would be willing to do that temporarily until John gets back on board.
I think once we approve it, it's approved for.
Well, we could approve it subject to his return.
Why would we go back to, I mean, if it's working great now, why would we go back to 4 10-hour days?
Well, I think we owe John that kind of courtesy, Dave. This is his department.
Oh. Not really. His department is the district's department, and it does not belong to one person, any one person. Your thoughts?
Is that the recommend? Is that what you recommend, and your staff? It's what works best for you.
That's what I've done to keep up with the workload and be here during normal business hours. I don't have any objection to it personally.
I mean, we've been presented with lots and lots of numbers and information that show that that's the best plan for fire districts. It's kind of, you know, it's what the firefighters have recommended, and if it's anybody's district, it's the people who work here day in and day out, and I think that it's what's best for the district. So I would like to move that we change the chief officers, both chief officer schedules to 5 8-hour workdays.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
No.
All right, motion passes. All right, so we are done with the meeting. I thank everybody for coming. We're going to, I will move that we go into closed session as authorized by the State of Missouri Sunshine Law 610.021 for legal and personnel. Does anyone second that?
Second, you take your time.
Roll call vote.
Roll call vote, Debbie.
I'm trying to answer you.
Greg?
Yes.
Bob?
The next meeting is Tuesday, June 27th at 7 p.m.
I'm lost.
Appropriate.